It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Lariats, and welcome everyone to Sinner's Sunday, the only chapel in the world with a full bar inside and outside, hot barbecue, and that neon cocktail sign. Advent is nigh, right? It officially starts about a week from today. One of those words you hear a lot, but maybe fall short of really describing what's happening. Maybe instead of Advent, they should call it, the start of something big. And those Advent calendars, I wonder who invented those things. They're a very clever way to get kids interested in the story of the Nativity. It's using some of the Santa Claus reward positive reinforcement thing, right? Each day the kid, or the adult with a sweet tooth, or the adult who hasn't abandoned his or her inner child, opens another door on that calendar and is rewarded with a Bible passage and a hunk of chocolate. It's kind of smart. Once Thanksgiving is done, Christmas comes roaring out in all its glory, huh? It's still a cool feeling, but it was much more intense in childhood. And in my house, it really wasn't about the gifts. Yeah, I recall some toys that I wanted, but we never had a Christmas list. That was considered, greedy, I guess, in our home. We would sit on Santa's lap for a picture at the department store, but when he asked me what I wanted, I could never remember exactly. And those store Santas always bugged me. I didn't like sitting on some strange dude's lap, and the beard looked phony, and if that didn't ruin it, they often wore a Timex, which didn't quite square with a 500-year-old spiritual entity. There were a lot more things I wanted and did not get than the other way around. But I never really cared about that. It was really more about the feeling, the ambiance of Christmas. It seemed as if around Christmas, sadness and anxiety were somehow not allowed. Since I went to Catholic schools, I had a pretty clear understanding that Santa Claus and Jesus were not the same guy. Although I dug Santa, I knew Jesus was the bigger star. It took many years before those South Park guys would pit one against the other in the video that made them rich and famous. But the Nativity story as a kid is just a cute, warm, and fuzzy story. Pretty young girl gets told by angel that she's going to have God's baby. Or as my mom explained it to me, baby God. That jazzed me pretty good. Baby God. That's not too far off from Superboy or Son of Kong, right? The idea that a kid could be really, really powerful. That is a lot of appeal to a small kid. It was tough to buy into, though. This pudgy little baby lying in that manger being God. He looked just like any other baby. But in our house, we had this plastic statue of the infant of Prague. I'll post a picture of that exact statue. I still have it at thatlarryshow.com. And the kid in the statue was more believable as baby God. He looked a little older and smarter, and instead of lying helpless in straw, he was standing up and was wearing really fancy brocade robes and a big crown on his head. And in one hand he held a globe, or at least a big red ball with a cross on top. And with the other hand, he was giving the Cub Scout two-finger salute. The Boy Scouts use three fingers, by the way. I don't know the difference, and I don't care. I was never a joiner. So this infant of Prague, baby God, he looked like someone to be reckoned with. Not that he could kick your ass or anything, but maybe he was connected to somebody who could. So I used to pray to him quite a lot. I figured he'd relate better to another kid than some big bearded dude, whether JC or his white bearded father, or the flying dove God. I never got that bird one at all. As a kid, I didn't understand that there were evil political forces that wanted to kill that baby even before he was born. or that that donkey trip across the desert was pretty damn scary, and how, after his birth, it would take 33 years for his enemies to finally waste him. But the facts of that story really don't figure into kid Christmases, and that's okay. Kids should keep that innocence as long as possible. In the Bible, maybe the first mention of Christmas is when Angel Gabriel stopped by Mary's crib and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." That's kind of a funny intro, isn't it? Sounds like something Yoda would say, or maybe some nutty game show host. Of course, Mary was just a kid, and she was pretty freaked out, and why not? She's only 14, she's a virgin, and 2,000 years ago, unwed mothers were not looked upon with warm regards. In fact, here's exactly what the law said about her situation according to Deuteronomy. Quote, "If a man marries a girl who is claimed to be a virgin and then finds that she is not, they shall bring the girl to the entrance of her father's house, and there her townsmen shall stone her to death." So Gabriel goes on to tell her, she's going to have God's baby, and it's all good. Well, she nearly has an aneurysm. And what's his answer? "Do not be afraid." Pop quiz time. What do you figure is the most common phrase in the Bible? Do not lie, or do not cheat, or do not steal? No, it is do not be afraid, or other variations, like JC's favorite, fear not. It is the single most oft repeated phrase in the Bible, which is one of the reasons we dig the Bible around here. Fear is the great destroyer, maybe more than anything in our lives. If JC had a mantra, that would probably have been it. Fear not. And there's really only one fear. All others spring from it. That's the fear of the unknown. Whatever your age, if you try to catalog the regrets you may have accrued, most of them will be rooted in fear. Fear to talk to that girl, or fear to go after that promotion, or punch that bully's nose flat, or maybe help the friend who really needs it, or reconcile with someone you screwed over. Still, you have to wonder how much comfort Mary got out of Gabriel's reassurance not to fear. She's probably like, okay, here's this big dude with the white wings and halo and the trumpet. This cannot be happening. I'm just going to put the pillow over my head and hope this is a really creepy nightmare. Then Gabriel tells her she's supposed to name her kid Jesus, and that the name means Savior. Well, imagine that. Life is tough enough on kids without giving them heroic names. It's practically an invitation to an ass-kicking. At that point, she's had enough, and she says to Gabriel, "Oh, really? And how's all this supposed to happen since I'm a virgin?" And Gabe tells her, "Look, sweetie, don't sweat the details. God will handle the biology. You just do what we tell you." And she agrees and goes back to sleep. And what about her fiancé, Joe, the carpenter? He's no chooch. What's going to make him buy into this preposterous story? That's when God sends another angel, a no-name angel, not a trumpet-playing rock star angel like Gabe. No, just some random guy to kind of smooth things out with Joe. Because Joe, by rights, could have blown a gasket and called Mary a no-good slut and watched them stone her at her father's house. But he's a good dude, a kind dude, and he makes up his mind not to embarrass her, to go through with the wedding and then just quietly divorce her. Talk about a stand-up guy, huh? Unbelievable. He was like Sir Walter Raleigh and Simon rolled into one. He was willing to go through all that mishigash just to save Mary from being labeled a bimbo. I'd say Joe is the unsung hero of the whole shebang. How many guys would do that? And this was all before the generic no-name angel pays him a visit. Then the generic angel shows up in Joe's bedroom in his dream and lays some facts on him. He hips Joe to the fact that Mary's angel, Gabriel, and the Holy Spirit pregnancy story is for real, and that she is a truth teller, And Joe better get with the program because God is on their side. And Joe wakes up the next morning like Neo in the Matrix when he says, "I know Kung Fu." And Joe says to himself, "I'm going to be a stepdad to the dude who will save the world." Whoa. And so begins the greatest story ever told. And the light of the world, and the difference between our lives here having real meaning or just being a cruel joke. So we're down with Christmas and baby God, 10,000%. So if you want to add an extra cool dimension to your Christmas, this Christmas, next Sunday, December 2, is the official start of Advent. Why don't you grab yourself an Advent calendar, one imprinted with the Bible passages, and check them out day by day. It's really a cool way to get a handle on the whole story. Or not. Just have the Santa Claus fun. That's okay, too, as long as it doesn't become about the stuff, the gifts. Because all stuff is crap. Eventually it will rust, it will fail, and it will wind up as landfill. And long before it does, we're going to get bored with that stuff anyway and just want other stuff. But Christmas, that never-ending story, the one that makes this journey worthwhile, that never gets old, that never wears out, and it never loses its magic. Hey, thanks for visiting with me today. Come back and see us this Tuesday for the regular show down the road at the TNS Dojo. It's going to be a fun one. We'll take a look at how PC culture is destroying comedy and the military. Then we'll lay some job advice on you that can save you years of stress and misery. We also have a bonus episode coming at you before month's end, only on Patreon. Support this ministry at patreon.com/thatlarryshow and write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. We'll see you Tuesday, and until then, God bless.